I want you to get out of this addiction. I want you to get out of this attitude. I want you to get out of this unforgiveness. I want you to get out of this thought life. I want you to get out of this false belief. I'm calling you out of that and into something. You know, a lot of people have a misconception of who God is and how it works, especially in Christianity. And people are constantly around the world trying to define this question: who is God? What is he like? Well, today we are in our series Now Showing, and a lot of people have that response to God being their shepherd. They say he could be our shepherd, and their answer is no. No, he can't be my shepherd. It's not possible. Well, as we think about that this morning, I want to ask you this question: who are you following? Because who you follow matters. How many of you know that? How many of you know that? Some of you aren't sure. It matters. And as we get into this morning, I want to read our theme verse. Romans 1:20 says this: for since the creation of the world, that means from the very beginning, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen. That means everybody can see it, being understood from what has been made, so that people are without excuse. There's no excuse for rejecting God, because all of creation makes it clear that he exists and he is real. So today, as we think about that and as we get into the series Now Showing, I want to talk about this today: the good shepherd. Everybody say the good shepherd. Anybody here ever been a shepherd? No? Okay, any of you worked in Fusion Kids? Like herding cats? You got that going on? Well, the Bible describes Jesus as our good shepherd, and we're going to get into that today. Wouldn't you rather follow a good shepherd than a bad one? I mean, it's just common sense. I would rather follow a good shepherd than a bad one every single day of my life. Well, in the book of John chapter 10, Jesus describes himself as the good shepherd. Now, before you get into John 10, we have to get into John 9 a little bit. And Jesus is kind of walking through the temple, and he's got a lot of stuff going on. He's teaching, and he comes across this guy who is blind. We don't have time to read all of John 9, so I'm just going to tell you the story a little bit. He runs across this guy who's blind, and this is what happened in verses 2 through 3. It says, his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned? This man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Let me stop right there for a second. Sometimes we have this feeling that God is punishing us because of sin, because maybe you have a sickness or an ailment. I mentioned a few weeks ago about a pastor I know who one of his members was diagnosed with cancer, and a friend said that they're demon-possessed because that's what cancer is. Totally not true at all. Does God sometimes use sickness to get our attention? 100%. But sometimes this is what happens, because Jesus answers the question. He says, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," Jesus said, "but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him." Sometimes things happen in our life, and God allows them to happen so that the works of God might be displayed in our life. That's the way you need to look at difficulty sometimes. That's the way you need to look at sickness sometimes, that the work of God could be displayed in and through your life. And sometimes that work is just simply displayed through the attitude that you display in that situation. So he says, "Hey, no one sinned here." He goes, "But I just want you to know that the work of God is going to be displayed in his life, and God's about to show us how the good shepherd works in his life." So Jesus turns to the man who's born blind, and he makes some mud out of some dirt and his spit. Now, there's several times that Jesus uses spit in his healing. We're going to have a healing spit service here after church, and I'm going to spit upon you that you might be healed. Now, no one really knows why Jesus used spit. But if you actually read the Gospels, Jesus used all kinds of ways to heal people. Sometimes he just spoke. Sometimes he laid hands on them. Sometimes he used spit. Sometimes he had this whole discourse. And I believe that the reason that Jesus used so many different ways to heal people is so that we wouldn't make a recipe. You say, oh, if you do this, this, and this, then the person will get healed. Jesus used all kinds of power, not the method. Not the method. So Jesus uses the spit and this mud, and he puts it on the guy's eyes. He says, listen, go to the pool. And he goes, I want you to wash. And then the guy says, okay. So I'm assuming he had some help. He gets there and he washes. Jesus goes about his business. He never actually physically lays eyes on Jesus, but all of a sudden he can see. Well, this causes chaos because Jesus healed him on the Sabbath, which was a no-no according to the Pharisees. And so they can't figure out why this guy gets healed. And so they bring him into the synagogue and the Pharisees are like, who healed you? He says, I don't know. This guy came and he made some mud and I went and washed and I could see. And they're like, no, that can't possibly be it. So they call the guy's parents in and they're like, hey, is this guy your son? And they're like, yeah, how did he get healed? And they're like, they start to panic because the Pharisees had made this rule. If anybody believes in Jesus as the Messiah, you're kicked out of the synagogue. Now, that might not be, you know, a big thing to us. We don't really understand it. So let me put it in present-day vernacular. It means you would get kicked out of Costco. Your membership is revoked. You no longer can buy in bulk. How are you going to eat all those cashews now? To get kicked out of the synagogue was a big problem in the Jewish culture because that meant you had no social life. You were blacklisted. You were excommunicado. It actually would affect your business. It would affect marriage issues, all those kinds of things. It was like you did not want to get kicked out of the synagogue. The Pharisees had such a grip. It made such a huge impact on your social and relational life. And so the parents said, we don't know. Why don't you ask him? Because he's an adult. He can ask for himself, answer for himself, because they were afraid to get kicked out of the synagogue. So they asked the man again, who healed you? He's like, I got to tell you again? Are you guys so dense? And then they said, well, he's probably demon-possessed. And the guy says, how could he be demon-possessed? We know that God doesn't listen to people who are demon-possessed, but God listens to righteous people. Clearly, this guy's righteous because he healed me. Anybody heard of an unrighteous person healing a blind person? And they get so mad at him, they kick him out of the synagogue. They said, you've been steeped in sin since birth, because they viewed his blindness as a curse from God. And that was very common back then. If you had a handicap or something in your life, then basically they said, oh, that's God's curse on you because you're such a wicked person. So they kicked him out of the synagogue. Well, this guy's wandering around trying to figure out, I can see now. He's probably like, whatever, I can see. I don't really need the synagogue. So he's going around and then Jesus hears about it. And this is where we pick up the story. John chapter 9, verse 35. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out. And when he found him, he said, do you believe in the Son of Man? The Son of Man was a title referring to the Messiah. Everybody would have known what that meant. Who is he, sir? The man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him. I really want to believe. I want to know this guy who healed me. Jesus said, you have now seen him. In fact, he's the one speaking with you. That's our way of saying, hey, it's me. The man said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. This guy's life has been totally, radically changed. I want you to pay attention because there's a great lesson here. Because once the man had worshiped in the synagogue, according to the rules of the Pharisees and the law, and now he was kicked out of the synagogue, and now he worships Jesus. This is a big transition. And the Pharisees can't wrap their mind around it. And so Jesus, as he does so eloquently, launches into a teaching of what just happened so that we might better understand what he's truly trying to teach us in the situation. This is where we pick up John chapter 10. Verse 1, he said, truly, truly, I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door but climbs in by another way, that man is a thief and a robber. A thief and a robber. Everyone would have known that analogy. Everyone would have grasped that because anybody who comes over the side of the sheep pen is probably not there with a good intention. He says, you're getting in the wrong way. We often try to get into a relationship with God. In fact, the world does this all the time. by getting in another way. We try to climb in through the side. You see, we keep trying to find another way in, but our goodness will never get us through the gate. Our works will never get us through the gate. Being part of the synagogue will never get us in through the gate. And we circumvent the good shepherd with our own goodness. But we need the good shepherd. This is who God is. This is who he wants to reveal himself to us this morning, that he is the good shepherd of our life. Don't circumvent the gate by your own goodness, because your own goodness isn't good enough. We need a good shepherd. He goes on in verse 2 and 3, he says, "But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the gatekeeper opens. The sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." He calls them by name and he leads them out. It would have been very customary for a sheepfold or a sheep pen in those days to have several different flocks in it. And they would kind of congregate in an area, and they would have like the sheep pen or sheepfold, and they would have several different flocks. And sometimes the shepherd would be there, but oftentimes it would be like a hired hand, a manager that they would have watching over, a watchman or a gatekeeper we'd be watching over. And when the actual shepherd came, they would recognize that that's the true shepherd, and they would open the gate for him. And one of the things that the shepherds would do, or even the gate people or the watchmen, the hirelings, would have a special call that they would make that the other sheep would hear. And they would make this sound or this call, and those sheep would actually recognize the voice of the person watching over them, and they would go to him. Here's the difference between that type of a shepherd and our shepherd. Our shepherd calls us by name. That's how intimately he knows you. That's how intimately he cares about you. He calls you by name. You ever had a situation where you forget somebody's name? Anybody? I will raise both hands. This happens to me all of the time. I was literally in Starbucks. I can't remember if I told the story or not, but I'm going to say it again because my stories are so great. They're worth repeating. I'm in Starbucks. And I'm ordering my drink, and the lady says, "Oh, okay." And I scan my little app because you always want to get the points, right? And I scan my little app, and the lady says, "Oh, it's under your wife's name." And I was like, "Yeah, creepy." And I didn't say creepy, but in my mind, I was saying creepy. I'm like, "Yeah, it's in my wife's name. How would she know it's my wife?" And so she said, "Okay, so do you want me to put it under Pastor Zach?" And I was like, "No." I'm like, "Yeah." I'm like, "Do we know each other?" And she's like, "Yeah, I've come to your church a few times." And I go, "I don't know her name." I'm like, "Oh, okay, well, it's good to see you. Glad to see you. We just chat." And I'm like, "Get my coffee." And I'm like, "I'm going to Better Buzz from now on." And then like the next day, I'm in Costco, and I'm pushing, as a good husband, I'm following my wife around Costco because my membership has not been revoked because I keep following the good shepherd. And so I'm following her around, and we turn the corner, and this lady is standing at the little sample table, and she's wearing the little hairnet and the hat. She goes, "Hey, Pastor Zach, you're Pastor Zach from Fusion Christian Church." So I'm like, "Yes." And she's like, "Oh, it's good to see you." I'm like, "Good to see you. Do we know each other?" And she goes, "Yeah, I go to your church." I'm like, "Bang, bang." "I don't know." I'm like, "You're wearing a hairnet. How do you expect me to? You might as well put a mask over your face." I'm literally in the gym 2 days ago, and a guy says, "Hey, Pastor Zach." I'm like, "Hey." And he hugs me, and I'm like, "Okay, this is awkward." Like, big hug. I'm like, "Hey, good to see you." And I put my hand on his shoulder, and I said, "Can you please tell me your name?" I forget names, but God doesn't. That's how intimately he cares about you, and he knows you. He calls us out by name. When the true shepherd comes, the gatekeeper has to open the door. I want you to think about that, because Jesus is using this shepherding analogy for the people, and they would have understood what he was talking about. when the true shepherd comes, not the watchman, not a hireling, not somebody that just got off Craigslist, but when the true shepherd comes, they have no option but to open the door. And when he calls by name, the sheep hear his voice. And they recognize him as the true shepherd, as the good shepherd. That's why we read Isaiah 43 with great love in our hearts, because it says, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I've called you out. I've called you by name. You are mine." If you believe upon Jesus Christ today, that means that Jesus has called you by name. And you belong to him. You hear his voice. He comes in and he says to all of us, right? He says, you're in the wrong sheep pen. You're in the wrong sheep pen. Because here's the truth. For the good shepherd to lead us into something, he must lead us out of something. I want you to think about that. For him to lead us into something, he must lead us out of something. And just like Jesus led the blind man out of Judaism and the legalistic aspects of the synagogue, he led him out of that which he thought his whole world was going to be over. Even though he could see, he now led him into something greater, which was a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. For God to lead us into something, he must lead us out of something. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, it says, "You, who are called by his name, are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out." Everyone say out. Out of darkness into his wonderful light. For God to lead us into something, he must lead us out of something. What is it that God is trying to lead you out of? He's coming into your life and he's opening up the gate and he's calling you by name. He says, "I want you to get out of this place. I want you to get out of this addiction. I want you to get out of this attitude. I want you to get out of this unforgiveness. I want you to get out of this thought life. I want you to get out of this false belief. I'm calling you out of that and into something." And that's the beautiful thing of a good shepherd. He comes to the door and he calls us by name. He says, I'm bringing you out of this thing. That's what the good shepherd does. We have to follow the good shepherd when he calls us out. And you know, the main way he calls us out is through his word. When we read his word, it calls us out. It begins to change our heart and our mind and the way we think and the way we plan our life and our beliefs and our hopes, because we say, "Okay, God, I'm following your voice and not my own." The story goes on in verses 4 through 6. It says, "When he has brought you out," when he's brought out all his own, "he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." I'm just going to tell you right now, if you are not regularly in the Word of God and praying and worshiping, you are going to have a very hard time hearing the voice of God. Because you won't recognize it. You won't recognize it. "A stranger they will not follow, but they will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." You know why? Stop right there. You know why? Go back there. You know why so many times we start believing false things? I had somebody ask me a question just like a week ago about something they had heard another pastor preach on YouTube or somewhere they were listening. And I said, "That is not in the Bible anywhere." Just because somebody stands behind the pulpit doesn't mean they have the heart of the good shepherd. That's why we need to know the Word of God, so that we might be able to discern through the power of the Holy Spirit and his word what is right and what is wrong. Don't follow the voice of strangers. Pay attention to it. "This figure of speech Jesus used with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them." They don't understand it. They don't comprehend it. They don't grasp it. because they're not mature enough, because they haven't really understood the voice of the Good Shepherd. Here's the truth. You don't have to know where he's leading you if you know who is leading you. Too many times I think we trip ourselves up because we want God to answer all the questions beforehand. But if we're just confident, listen, I'm following the Good Shepherd. I'm not following the mediocre shepherd. I'm not following the indecisive shepherd. I'm following the Good Shepherd. And wherever he goes, wherever he takes me, I'm good with that. Because for us to follow him, we recognize he has to. He's leading us out of something, but he's also leading us into something. Jesus goes on and says this in verse 7 through 10. It says, "So Jesus again said to them, 'Truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture.'" What is one of the number one needs for the sheep? Pasture. They have to graze all the time. They're led into good pasture, and they have the protection of the Good Shepherd. "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it abundantly." Two totally different results. One brings life and one brings death. And Jesus said, "I am the door of the sheep." You see, the Good Shepherd doesn't just lead us out of something, he leads us into something. He doesn't say, "Oh, come on out, and now you're on your own." He brought that man out of worshiping in the synagogue and the legalistic aspects of the Pharisees and the Jewish way of you can get there on your own into a personal relationship now with Jesus Christ. How many of you are so thankful that God led you out of something, but he didn't just leave you there, he brought you into something? And that's what he does. He brings us into something. Right now, we're experiencing that as a church right now. He led us out of the other building, and right now, we're here at this time. We're saying, "Okay, God, we're following you wherever it is you lead," and right now, we're in this waiting period until he leads us into something that he has planned for us. And we see that in and through our life. He says, "I'm the door." And he leads us out of the slavery to sin into salvation. He leads us from a destiny of eternity without him into an eternity with him. He leads us out of a purposeless life into a life full of purpose and meaning. This is what he does. "I'm bringing you out of darkness into marvelous light." He came to steal, kill, and destroy, but I've come to lead you into life and life abundantly. That's what a good shepherd does. Who are you following? Who's your shepherd? Whose voice are you listening to? The false shepherd can never lead the sheep. They can only steal them. The prophet Isaiah said this in Isaiah 53. He says, all of us, every single person on the planet, like sheep have strayed away, and we've left God's path to follow our own, yet the Lord laid on him the sins of us all. Anybody here ever followed your own way to your own detriment? That's called sin. All of us, like sheep, have gone astray. We've all ignored and rebelled against the voice of the shepherd. But today is a good reminder for us to come back to hear his voice, to come back to learn his word, to pray, to seek him, to worship him, so that we might always follow him into the pasture that he wants us to be in. What is God leading you out of? Some of you, your minds, your spirits are so wrapped up in things that are wrong. You're in the wrong sheep pen. You've been following the wrong shepherd, and it might just be in one area. What are you following? Jesus goes on to say this in verse 11. He says, "I'm the good shepherd. and the good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. It would have been customary for the shepherd at night, when he gets his sheep in the pen, there would be the one gate, and the shepherd would often lay down in front of the gate, because he was the last line of defense for the sheep. If anybody tried to come and steal, they would have to try and climb over, or they would have to kill the shepherd, because he would give his life for the sheep. Jesus demonstrated that at the cross, because Jesus laid down his life for us and became the doorway of our salvation. I want you to think about the powerful analogy Jesus is giving us here. Jesus recognized that we needed help because we, like sheep, had gone our own way. We were following the wrong shepherd, sin. And Jesus came and he calls us out and he recognizes that something needs to happen with our sin. And so he laid down his life. He literally laid down his life, the doorway of the sheep pen, and sacrificed himself so that you and I would never be without a good shepherd. He laid his life down. He gave the ultimate sacrifice of a shepherd. He laid his life down for the sheep. Jesus knew that the enemy was coming to steal, kill, and destroy us, but he laid his life down. What a powerful picture for us. Because everybody else would run and flee. I'm not giving my life for you. I'm out of here. Jesus has this powerful desire to reach people who are in the wrong pen. He goes on and says this in verse 16. He says, "And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice, so there will be one flock and one shepherd." Everybody say, one flock and one shepherd. There'll be one flock and one shepherd. You see, the good shepherd is always bringing more sheep into his flock. This is why we tell you to invite your friends. This is why we tell you to talk about Jesus to other people. This is why we tell you to be outward focused, because this is Jesus' heart and desire, that there'll be one flock and one shepherd. Psalms 100 says, "Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture." You see, the church isn't a building we attend. It's a flock we belong to. I'm part of it. Not only in this place, but we're part of the flock of God around the world. There's one church, there's one flock, and there's one good shepherd. We must follow him. This is who God is. This is who Jesus said he is. And when we talk to people about Jesus, we recognize that we're talking to them about the good shepherd who wants them to lead them into a good pasture, lead them into eternal life, lead them into a life where their sins are forgiven. This is the kind of God we have. And he shows us, since the beginning of creation, these attributes of him have been clearly seen.